It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. It is back to school season for Wisconsin students and for the hundreds of school nurses who care for them in districts all over the state.
The healthcare needs of students may be wide-ranging and complex, such as managing chronic conditions like asthma and seizures, identifying support for students with mental health concerns, and taking on a public health role by talking with families that are not up to date on childhood vaccinations.
The new school year comes as state officials are managing a growing measles outbreak in southwestern Wisconsin with nearly 100 confirmed or probable cases, and childhood vaccination rates continue to decrease, putting Wisconsin among the lowest states when it comes to vaccination coverage.
To learn about what Wisconsin school nurses are facing in the new school year, we're joined by Shannon Jones, a school nurse in the Marinette School District and president of the Wisconsin School Nurses Association. Shannon, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you for having me.
And Tashonda Edelin is here, a family nurse practitioner and manager of health services at Milwaukee Public Schools. Tashonda, welcome to you.
Yes, thank you for having me as well.
Tashonda, with the school year just getting underway, what is this time like for a school nurse in your district?
Oh, it's a very busy time. getting back into their schools and setting up for the upcoming school year. They will use this time to update medical orders for students, get their medication schedules together, send out communications to their school community in regards to what to expect from the nurse this school year, attend a couple of trainings that we put on for our nurses just so they have the information and be equipped to start off the school year strong. So the first couple of weeks are pretty busy. They get their list together to make those immunization phone calls to families. So they are pretty busy up until probably mid-September and getting back in the groove.
What is an immunization phone call like to a family? Can you walk us through that, Tashonda?
Yes, I can. So there is a list that the nurses pull from our district database that identifies students that are either in process or behind on the required immunizations for school. And so once that list is generated, the nurse goes through that list, make sure that the information that they have is correct. So they compare that list to the Wisconsin Immunization Registry and update as needed. And so if that student is still marked as in process or behind, the nurse will contact that family and just provide them that information in regards to, you know, we're doing an update, see that your student is behind on, let's say, the MMR vaccination or the Tdap or the meningococcal, and just get information in regards to if that family wants to get the vaccine, if there's any barriers that's stopping the family from getting the vaccines, and providing those resources, or just, you know, answering any questions the family may have that may be in relation to a little bit of apprehension about receiving vaccines. So it depends on the response of the family.
Shannon, it sounds like communication is key for school nurses. What is back to school like in your schools?
It looks pretty much as Tashonda had described there, that same busy flurriness of activity of getting everything started for the school year. The only difference, well, and actually Milwaukee, I have to give praise to Milwaukee Public Schools because their nurse to student ratio is very well done. There's lots of access to school nurses. So actually a lot of what Tashonda was describing is similar to what we do here in Marinette, getting kids welcome to school, making sure their health information is coordinated with their teachers and that they're set up to come to school safe and cared for.
What is a healthy nurse to school ratio? What might that look like in Wisconsin?
Well, if you were going to dream a big, beautiful dream, it would be one school nurse to each school. That is not necessarily the reality that we face in Wisconsin. There's 2,300 schools approximately across the state and 570 nurses to staff all of those. So we're pretty far from that being a possibility at this point. However, there are opportunities with some federal changes that happened with free care rule reversal that could allow for more funding opportunities in a stream of resource to lower that student to nurse ratio.
Do you see some gaps in Wisconsin? Are there school nurse deserts in particular areas?
Yes, if you have a student population of greater than, I'm going to say an approximation of like 2,000 students to one nurse, the reality is that those 2,000 students don't have regular, consistent availability of a school nurse, which impairs their ability to have minute issues addressed at a low level. Typically, that nurse is only going to respond to situations that are significant, elevated, require immediate attention just because their time is a significant demand, so they cannot put roots into something that is as simple as a student coming in with a bellyache and having somatization of symptoms and discerning if they're sick and they need to go home versus they are actually just stressed and they need some support within the school setting so they can navigate their day. That's one of those key differentials between a student to nurse ratio that's manageable, where the students have predictable, consistent access to a registered nurse. They have somebody that they know by name and face that they can go to when they're struggling.
Tashonda, how do you view the school nurse staffing levels in Milwaukee schools?
Well, right now we're in pretty good shape. The majority of our schools outside of our charter schools or contracted schools, I should say, receive some form of nursing services. So whether it's full-time, meaning there's a nurse there all day, or half-time services where nurses are split between two schools throughout the day, we pretty much provide some form of coverage at every school within the district. But unlike other districts, we employ registered nurses as well as LPNs. So we get support on both levels. And our LPNs are can function as floats throughout the district. So they will go and provide coverage if we have call-ins or need additional support at a site. We have those LPNs that can come out and support in that way as well as LPNs that help support at a school site. So our school sites that may have a high SPED population or have a high direct nursing services population, we have LPNs that'll support in those schools as well. So we have a really good, healthy team of nurses for right now. But of course, we all would like to benefit from having one nurse in one school. So we are working towards that. But, you know, that's a goal we would like to accomplish, but we just have to see how things pan out.
And LPNs are licensed practical nurses who are providing the basic hands-on care.
Okay. Yes, more tasky-related care. Yeah, so during the physical work, so providing the G-tube feedings, diabetic cares, things like that. They're more task-oriented.
You know, Shannon, districts around the country and here in Wisconsin are facing some severe budget cuts. The National Association of School Nurses, it says that school nurses are more likely to face layoffs because of this. Have you seen that at all in Wisconsin? What is that like?
When there was COVID funding, that was one of the drastic changes where we saw the ratio improve for having nurses present at schools. As the funding shifted from COVID resources to school sustaining those positions, a lot of those positions fell off at that time, even despite some grant funding that had been provided at a state level to sustain those or even improve income basis for nurses that work in schools. So we did see that there was a decline immediately after that time period. Some schools, however, who identified the benefit of it and the dollar value that actually comes back to school districts, families, teachers of lost time that's improved when there is a registered nurse to respond. Some of those schools have had sustained those positions, but certainly it has had an impact. As we walk forward, there's concerns for continued cuts to education systems. So that is one of those places where, as a school nurse organization, we're trying to partner with legislators to fix some of old law that has been in place regarding that free care rule reversal. There's a percentage ratio that's retained by the state that goes to the general coffer. So it just goes to the general budget that is generated from schools doing the work. But we only receive, unfortunately, 55% of that reimbursement ratio coming back. That's significant at this time period because when free care rule reversal happened, that's where if we do a Medicaid service for medication administration, G-tube feeding, anything like that, we would get that money coming back to us only if a student had an individualized education plan that was developed to help them have access to their education system. Back in 2014, there was a federal change that Wisconsin adopted in 2025 that allows us to be reimbursed for those same services for any student that is Medicaid eligible. So there's a big shift in the number of students that we're capable of billing for. So that old law that goes back to 55% coming back to schools was part of how the Department of Health Services sustained their workforce for implementing the new practice way back when. So it's old law impacting new funds coming in. So we have been meeting with legislators for quite a number of years, petitioning that they consider changing that now specifically, because those dollars, if they come back to schools, essentially can help sustain those nurse positions so you don't have further loss for a service that is needed within the school setting.
We're talking with Shannon Jones there, school nurse in the Marinette School District, president of the Wisconsin School Nurses Association, and Tashonda Edelin is manager of health services at Milwaukee Public Schools. I want to circle back, Tashonda, to where we started the conversation with vaccinations and Wisconsin having among the lowest measles vaccination rate for kids out of any state in the country. Now we have an outbreak happening of measles. How are you communicating with parents in your district about this issue in particular?
We send out information to parents, whether it's via our parent square or email blast or robocalls, just reminding parents of the importance of being vaccinated and the, I don't want to use the word consequence, but the consequence of not being vaccinated if, you know, measles knocks at our front door, and we're hoping that it does not. But we want to make sure parents have that information up front. So whatever decision that they make, they can't necessarily say that they weren't aware or didn't have that information. So I try to make sure that the parents know who to contact when they have questions and concerns about immunizations, about certain vaccines, about what the process is if and when an outbreak occurs. I stay in close contact with the local Milwaukee Health Department. So I am well-versed and well-prepared in regards to what we need to do. I'm more proactive than reactive, so I always like to be prepared when things show up at the door and not kind of working backwards.
Tashonda, changes to SNAP could mean that families might be facing challenges affording food at home. Kids could be hungry. What happens to us, you know, when a school nurse is in that situation when they might see that child who is hungry? What can they do?
What they can do is reach out to that family. We don't want to create any biases or make families feel like they are a charity case when we're, you know, reaching out to them. If we notice that, or the child might disclose that they didn't eat the night before and things like that. So we want to make sure we walk that fine line initially to make sure that when we're reaching out to families that we're not reaching out in any type of judgmental space. But if it's communicated to the nurse that a child is suffering from lack of food at home, the nurse can reach out to that family, see what resources that they need, and also connect them with our school social worker. There's a school social worker in every school as well that can also help provide or connect families to like food pantries, at least attempt to help them in a sense of contesting whether or not they can request, you know, to receive like the full balance of their SNAP benefits, things like that. So kind of giving families that additional information that someone might have not had shared with them, or ways to help them advocate for themselves too, because a lot of families might not know what to say or where to go find this information. So kind of allowing them to have those resources. But here at the district, at the schools, the nurse may connect with the kitchen manager to see what additional items that the child could probably get during lunch or during breakfast. Sometimes teachers will kind of keep leftover food, you know, so they may keep, you know, oranges, apples, things like that to be able to share with those students if they haven't had anything to eat. But the district does offer free lunch and free breakfast and free lunch for those families too. But we definitely want to make sure we connect those families to the appropriate resource. But we want to meet them where they are and not provide any judgment so they can be open enough to accept the help.
Shannon, what comes up for you with children who may be hungry and the role of school nurses?
Well, that's a hard question to answer for the fact that sometimes what we can control within the school setting is making sure they have access to food and nourishing meals. But outside of the home, it's just as much of a struggle. And if you have worked in education long enough, you recognize the importance of quality nutrition in growing mind space and development of their bodies as well. So some of what we're able to do in kind of a more rural setting is education-based for promotion of nutrients. So we do have, our hospital has some apple crunch promotion that they do just to get kids conditioned to it. Our food services has done an amazing job of doing some food demonstrations for each quarter to get kids comfortable eating foods that are outside of their normal palate. And then doing some education within families of homes for simple, nutritious meals that also are low budget and like economy friendly. At a backpack program recently, we did a bean and cheese burrito demonstration and talked to kids about how to soak beans and cook rice and to try a bean rice and cheese burrito and talked about the nutrition benefits of those pieces. As you had mentioned, though, with SNAP funding cuts, that ability is compromised because you don't have a specific person to provide those education points. So it is unfortunate to see some of that funding go away, knowing the impact that it'll have long term on children's health.
As we wrap up here, you know, kids have a lot of stresses and mental health is an issue. Have you seen mental health changing for students over time? And what is the situation like?
Mental health is one of my favorite things to work with students about. And when you're in a school and you know the kids on a day-to-day basis, it's amazing the little touch points and tidbits and self-care that you can generate with them to build that foundation of health and well-being. And seeing them, the health office is one of those places that is their first stopping point when they start to struggle. It's kind of a safe place to say, oh, my belly hurts. It's easier than saying, like, I'm feeling anxious or worried. And also we work with the child population who doesn't often know what those words genuinely mean. So when they come to the health office and they complain of a bellyache and you've seen them for the third or fourth time, you can have a more intentional conversation of what does your body experience when it's under stress and talk with them about skills and strategies and tools that they have to remediate that stress to help their body feel better so that their mind can feel better. And one of the most beautiful aspects of that is that they will continue to come in when they need those supports, whether regardless of the reason for them coming in, they can have continual biofeedback and education on how to improve their mental health outcomes at an early intervention age. So as they move into their adult lives, their opportunities are greater, their cognitive functioning is higher, their physiology is more regulated. And that's one of those unspoken beauties of being in health field in an education setting is the profound impact of preventative medicine, because we get to meet children where they are day to day and provide those supports for them.
Tashonda and Shannon, thank you so much for being here. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for having us.
Shannon Jones is a school nurse in the Marinette School District and president of the Wisconsin School Nurses Association. And Tashonda Edelin is a family nurse practitioner and manager of health services at Milwaukee Public Schools. We talked with them about the role of school nurses and how they navigate student health in their schools.